again by Poetry Magazine, for over 90 years a premier publisher of contemporary verse. You can find it online at poetrymagazine.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 4th of September, 2007. It's the birthday of the novelist Richard Wright, born in Roxy, Mississippi, 1908, son of a sharecropper and a schoolteacher. He was 19 years old, 1927, moved to Chicago, wrote stories there about the South. His first book was called Uncle Tom's Children. It was a big success, but Richard Wright said later, "I had written a book which even bankers' daughters could read and weep over and feel good about. I swore to myself that if I ever wrote another book, that it would be so hard and deep that they would have to face it without the consolation of tears." He moved to New York, and he wrote a novel based on a true story, wrote it on a yellow legal pad sitting on a bench in Brooklyn in Fort Greene Park. It was Native Son, came out in 1940. Story of Bigger Thomas. A young black man gets hired by his white slumlord, Mr. Dalton, work as a chauffeur, catches the eye of Mr. Dalton's freethinker daughter, Mary. But when he takes Mary out on the town, she gets so drunk he has to carry her home. And he helps her into bed, Bigger Thomas does. But when she begins to make noise, he's terrified that he'll be caught with her. So he covers her mouth with a pillow and accidentally smothers her to death, tries to cover up the murder, but after fleeing the police, he's caught and put on trial for murder, and he's sentenced to death. He toned down some of the more explicit sexual scenes from the book, and it became a Book of the Month Club selection and a big bestseller, followed 5 years later by his memoir, Black Boy. It was on this day, 1886, the Indian Wars ended when Geronimo surrendered after 30 years of fighting in Arizona. He was an Apache medicine man. He led a war of resistance even after the death of the chief Cochise, when other Apaches had been forced onto a reservation. Geronimo fought on 5 more years. Many military historians consider him one of the great guerrilla warfare strategists in history. At the end, he led a band of 37 warriors pursued by 5,000 U.S. cavalrymen, eluding capture. But he and his warriors got tired of living in the mountains, and so they surrendered on this day. He became a celebrity. He was allowed to travel around the country. He made a living selling autographed pictures of himself, appeared at the St. Louis World's Fair in 1904. Here's a poem for today by Tony Hoagland entitled Jet. Sometimes I wish I were still out on the back porch, drinking jet fuel with the boys, getting louder and louder as the empty cans drop out of our paws like booster rockets falling back to earth. And we soar up into the summer stars. Summer, the big sky river rushes overhead, bearing asteroids and mist, blind fish, and old spacesuits with skeletons inside. On Earth, men celebrate their hairiness, and it is good, a way of letting life out of the box, uncapping the bottle, to let the effervescence gush through the narrow, usually constricted neck. And now the crickets plug in their appliances in unison, and then the fireflies flash dots and dashes in the grass, like punctuation for the labyrinthine, untrue tales of sex someone is telling in the dark, though no one really hears. We gaze into the night as if remembering the bright, unbroken planet we once came from, to which we will never be permitted to return. We are amazed how hurt we are. We would give anything for what we have. A poem by Tony Hoagland, Jet, from his collection Donkey Gospel, published by Gray Wolf Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, sponsor of American Life and Poetry, bringing poetry to newspaper readers across the country. You can find it online at americanlifeandpoetry.org. Our technical director is Thomas Schweitzker. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.